Good morning. Welcome. Tea and coffee is served in the Mayo Hall after the service. Please come and join us. There's four things. Monday the 22nd of July at 2 o'clock, there is a Thanksgiving service for Margaret Townsend at Holy Trinity Church, Claygate. And on Tuesday the 23rd, 2 o'clock, a Thanksgiving service for Margaret Randall here at the KURC. Kyunam Cho will have to await results of his court case, his immigration status. Suho Cho, however, has leave to remain for at least 2 more years. Which is good news, yes. Mary Williamson is in Teddington Memorial Hospital. And just to say that there is an error on the back page of the service sheet, the next lunchtime recital is August the 15th, not the 8th, as printed. See the posters and flyers in the foyer. And Vaughan wants to have a word.
Hello, just a brief reminder, a final one you'll be pleased to hear, that KURC's International Games Afternoon takes place here at the church this coming Saturday between 3 and 5. I do hope you've got it firmly in your diaries, since it should be lots of fun. We've got games and activities for adults and children of all ages. A couple of requests. It would be great if those of us who are coming could bring some small light refreshments to share, which are typical for where we're from. I, for example, should be bringing some leek and seaweed sandwiches. Could your contributions be ready to eat, please? That is, in individual portions. We shall be using the sanctuary here rather than the Mayo, and so we won't have the luxury of a kitchen next door, so it would be good to keep things as simple as possible. And while I'm standing here, just also to remind you that you can now book tickets for our seaside excursion on the 7th of September. You'll find full details on the posters, in the foyer, and in the Mayo. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God. Lord, who may enter your temple? Who may worship on your sacred hill? A person who obeys God. Protect me, Lord. I trust in you for safety. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. All the good things I have come from you. We join to sing, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise. remaining as we are, we say the psalm. Lord, who may enter your temple? Who may worship on Zion, your sacred hill? Those who obey God in everything and always do what is right, whose words are true and sincere, and who do not slander others. They do no wrong to their friends, nor spread rumors about their neighbors. They despise those whom God rejects, but honor those who obey the Lord. They always do what they promise, no matter how much it may cost. They make loans without charging interest and cannot be bribed to testify against the innocent. Whoever does these things will always be secure. Please be seated. We join to pray. Majestic Christ, creator of heaven and earth, we exalt you. You were before all that is. You are in all that is. You are the sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. You are the frame in which creation sits. You are our beautiful, magnificent picture of God, each brushstroke lovingly defined. For us to see, if we would look, we praise your wondrous, holy name. And in the season when we remember the first landing on the moon, we give you thanks for those scientists who work and research, who take us to new possibilities. We thank you for human courage. We thank you for those people who work and work and work at a cause that others think of as ridiculous. And we thank you for those times when humanity gets together to accomplish something. Thank you. But we confess that too often our vision of you and our vision of ourselves is just too small. We are not prepared to do the best. We do the least that we can get away with. Forgive us. May your spirit of inspiration be ours. For we know that the earth is your gift to us, and our duty is to care for it. We know that often we do not, and we ask that you would forgive us and inspire us so to do. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Right, I might need some helpers. I've got some things in my bag. Do you want to come and have a look? Come on, chat. Oh, one's gone on. Don't want that. You can take that one. Be very careful, though it has been broken before. Pull it out. What is it? What is it, Jack?
It's an iPad.
It is. It's an iPad, or it's a tablet computer. Okay? Okay, Sophia, what else have I got in here? What's this?
A radio.
It's a radio. Okay. Jack, there's something else in here.
It's a phone.
It is. It's a smart. It's mine as well. It's a smartphone. And Sophia, there's one other thing I want to talk about, but I couldn't be bothered to carry it, so come over here with me. What's this?
Computer.
A computer, yeah. So Denise has got the computer. So what have all these things got in common? They need something to work, don't they? They need, what do they need?
Batteries, yeah.
Yeah, they do need batteries. But even if they had batteries in, they wouldn't work. They wouldn't. What do they need? They need something that's floating through the air.
Engineers.
Engineers to make them.
Oh, yeah, they do need engineers to make them, yeah. They do need engineers to make them. But they also... Actually, before we do this, can you actually... Do you know which one of these was invented first? Was it the iPad, the phone, the personal computer, or the radio? The grown-ups are saying the radio. Do you think that's right? Do you know how long ago it was invented? Was it more than 20 years? More than 50 years? More than 100 years? It was. It was 120 years ago. Approximately, Marconi. Anyway, so the big question is, how do these devices get their information? How does the computer get its data to show you websites? How does the phone get the voices that come out of it? How does the radio... Radio get that? It's a bit crackly. Can you see it? Where is it? Can you see the noise coming into that radio? Could you see the music, Jack? Jack's really looking hard, actually. Can you see it? No. But it's there, isn't it? It's there, is it? Yeah. It is somewhere in the air. So it's all floating around. It's there, but we can't see it. So what's this got to do with Jesus? Perhaps Jesus is showing us something that we can't otherwise see. Okay, thank you. Sing. We are going to sing, and we're going to sing "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord."
Thank you.
This is a tough story for those of you who are busy people. But I guess the truth of the story is it's all about the state of mind. Ray Erskine will read this passage to us.
Readings from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples went on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do, so she came and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her."
Did warn you. The second reading starts with a poem. Whatever our translation comes up with, it starts with a poem. And the one commentator says that the purpose of this passage is to shape the imagination of the Christian community. And Hosanna Lee will read this passage to us.
This reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 28. The person and work of Christ. Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn Son, superior to all created things. For through him, God created everything in heaven and on earth, the seen and the unseen things, including spiritual powers, lords, rulers, and authorities. God created the whole universe through him and for him. Christ existed before all things, and in union with him, all things have their proper place. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the source of the body's life. He is the firstborn son who was raised from death in order that he alone might have the first place in all things. For it was by God's own decision that the Son has in himself the full nature of God. Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his Son's sacrificial death on the cross, and so brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven. At one time, you were far away from God and were his enemies because of the evil things you did and thought. But now, by means of the physical death of his Son, God has made you his friends in order to bring you holy, pure, and faultless into his presence. You must, of course, continue faithful on a firm and sure foundation, and must not allow yourselves to be shaken from the hope you gained when you heard the gospel. It is of this gospel that I, Paul, became a servant, this gospel which has been preached to everybody in the world. Paul's work as a servant of the church. And now I am happy about my sufferings for you, for by means of my physical sufferings, I am helping to complete what still remains of Christ's sufferings on behalf of his body, the church. And I have been made a servant of the church by God, who gave me this task to perform for your good. It is the task of fully proclaiming his message, which is the secret he hid through all past ages from all mankind, but has now revealed to his people. God's plan is to make known his secret to his people, this rich and glorious secret which he has for all peoples. And the secret is that Christ is in you, which means that you will share in the glory of God. So we preach Christ to everyone. With all possible wisdom, we warn and teach them in order to bring in each one into God's presence as a mature individual in union with Christ. Amen.
Amen. We believe that in Jesus, the invisible has been made visible. We are people whose concern is with invisible things. That is our top priority. However tough it is to keep connecting with this truth, we are to live our best lives trying to be in touch with an invisible entity. How do we know that we are doing the right thing at this time, for this season of our lives, in this context, if we don't take time to reflect, to consider, and the word we use for that is to pray. To take time to reflect on the eternal. As Christians, we believe that God is the guide in our lives. How can you possibly live a Christian life unless you expect that as you live day by day, in the world that we live in, you will in some way encounter God? And how can you expect to have that way of framing life so that you have that focus for your life if you only think of it as 1 hour a week? Because all the rest of our time, we're surrounded, we're in a sea of secular humanism, with the news media, adverts everywhere, ubiquitous consumerist marketing. Plus, don't think that all the drama that we watch isn't actually trying to frame the people that we are. And that narrative is rarely a Christian narrative. It can be an interesting one for a Christian to reflect on. Whatever we do, we need to tune in with the invisible one. Now, there are people who have what I would consider to be the old-fashioned notion that Christianity is about doing good things. But surely, surely, in our multi-faith secular society, we know that there are plenty of people who are doing good things without God getting anything like an acknowledgement. That's not to say that God isn't in the mix, because I firmly believe that God is in the mix, but God isn't acknowledged. So Christianity can't just be about doing good stuff, because there's plenty of people doing good stuff. There's a minister who quotes Wesley saying, in the basis of his choices, "Will this make any difference in eternity?" How do you know? How do you know if you don't pause, reflect before you act? How do you know? The challenge for many is that we swallow up the assumptions of our society without even giving a second thought. How does this sit with the message of our faith? So the passage in Colossians begins with this hymn to the invisible God made known in Jesus. And that is exactly the framework of our living. For most of us, our living a life as a follower of Jesus, making the invisible visible, will not be in one great big huge magnificent something, getting somebody on the moon. It will be in, literally of our life, millions of tiny small actions that are done in a certain direction where they could be in another direction. It will be thousands and thousands of choices made every day about the way we behave, about what we buy, about what we don't buy, about how we invest our time, about the relation. And for us, it is about knowing that the life that we live, however small it is actually in a much bigger context. And if you think about this business about the invisible made visible, you remember that metaphor that we use quite often, the body of Christ, the body of Christ metaphor? That's us. We're the flesh. He's the head, we're the flesh. We are the visible bit that people see. We're the visible bit that does the stuff. That's up to us. Yeah, but come on, Leslie, man. Being a follower of Jesus is about doing things, isn't it? I want to say, how do you know what to do? How do you know what to do? How do you get your energy to keep on going? The answer is, we stop. We pray. We make communing with the invisible a high priority. To listen. To wonder about our assumptions. To challenge ourselves about our priorities. So I just want to say, I'm not setting off to make any of us feel guilty, because I am aware that we all feel that we don't pray enough. I know that. That's how it is. But it is interesting, isn't it, the level of priority that we Christian people give to communing with the invisible that we call God. It's interesting, isn't it? It says us something. What we need, I think, is what we need to do is refresh our imagination about the variety of ways that there are to sit at the feet of Jesus. We're not like Mary, we're not physically able to do it, but there are ways that we can do it that I would label as prayer that sometimes I think other people don't label in that way, and I think maybe it would be good for them if they did. So then people would be less guilty. And so they would work out what was going on. So, for example, listening to music. So, music that just takes you into a higher place. What's that if it's not praying? If you're just listening, oh, I don't think they played that C sharp very well. No, that's not what we're talking about. But if music that gets into your gut and makes your heart soar, whatever sort of music you're into, playing music, talking to somebody who's a very skilled classical musician, and she prays before she plays, and she says that she always does all that she does to the glory of God. That's a number one priority for her. It's an act of worship as she plays. Sit in silence in the park. Listen to the Bible. Not read the Bible, but listen to the Bible. We've got this notion that praying is all about sitting there with your eyes shut. You maybe read a wee bit of the Bible and then you... But there's a whole range of stuff that actually constitutes prayer. Go for a walk and have a conversation in your head with the Almighty. What is that if it's not praying? Commit to a friend. Get a pal and say to them, right, you and me, we're going to be regular and vigilant in our praying. I'm not very good at keeping to a schedule. You're not very good at schedule. Let's encourage each other. Put a date in your diary. Put an alarm on your phone. Do something that is physically like some craft, but do it mindfully. Be aware of what you're doing. Reflect and pause. Let your first level brain calm so your second level brain can soar. There's loads of speakers and preachers on YouTube. Listen to the daily service. There's a member of our church who listens to the daily service and sings the hymns, joins in. Paint. Use the URC's daily devotions. Get them sent into your inbox. Buy the prayer handbook and then use it. Attend a service of another denomination. Just attend a service within this church, but in another time in the week. I would say to you, the expression, I cannot pray, is lazy thinking. Need to acknowledge there is no way you can be a Christian and not be hanging around with invisible things. And that means, of course, that we're easy to mock, we're easy for people to laugh at. You can't escape from that. It's just how it is. And if you're not careful, you can get hooked into being involved in good works, and that is not all there is to the story of Christianity. Two final things from the Luke reading. The standard response to those people who are busy people when they hear that reading from Luke is, blimey, Charlie, doesn't Jesus know that people, they needed their tea? Who was going to cook their dinner? Those, you know, I'm in the kitchen sort of people. Sort of telling Jesus off, actually. I think the answer to that is, it's not about being in the kitchen that's the problem. It's the attitude to being in the kitchen that's the problem. For lots of people, cooking, being in the kitchen, cooking, whether you're just cooking for yourself or cooking for a couple or a whole gang of people, can be done to the glory of God. But it's about how you do it. The criticism of Martha is about her fussing and fretting, slagging off her sister. So there's a bit of quite a wodge of negativity going on in her. It's not about the preparing of the dinner. It's about what's going on in you as you prepare the dinner. You could say that making somebody their food, even if that somebody is just you, that's a really lovely, holy thing to do. The second thing to finish I would take from that reading from Luke is Jesus, the women, the disciples, they also needed their tea. But you know what? There was something more important. And we, as people who are about making the invisible visible, need to know, and sometimes need to remember, that we are more than our stomachs. Thank you. Woohoo! Let's be silent together and then we will pray. Today, Lord our God, we offer you the whole of our lives. The domestic chores that every day requires. Hospitality. Conversation. Planning. Caring. In times of listening, in times of distraction, in times of wonder. In work well done, and in deepening understanding, we will praise you. So we reflect upon the week that is ahead. Lord, help us in the situations that are ahead of us to make your love visible, your hope real, and your truth and joy present. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So you may not think you know this next hymn, but most people will know the tune. Please have a seat. We've got a number of specific requests for prayer. Somebody's friend who is in Russia, who is very, very ill and coming to the end of their life, to pray for them. And last night, the prayer pastors were told of the experience of the street pastors that there were 5 women all over 60 who were rough sleeping on the streets of Kingston. And of course there are people whose issues are with immigration, and there are some of us whose issues are about dealing with long-term illness, and there are some of us whose issues are about dealing with the noise of our neighbours. So let us pray. We pray for our politicians, those who make the laws. But Lord our God, it is we in our small way who are part of the driving of public opinion. And how can it be right that people sleep on the streets of a rich country like this? We know the solution is not simple. We pray for the priority for housing, for care for those living with mental health issues. Care for those who come out of the armed forces. That your priority, that the weakest would be seen and recognized as being an important part of a civilized society. Pray for those who live with the daily fear of the very early morning knock on the door, and for those whose immigration status is insecure. And we recognize that that includes people for whom it is a life and death matter. We pray for those that we know, even ourselves, those of us living with long-term conditions, those whose hearts are failing, whose kidneys are failing, those who have muscular sclerosis, motor neuron disease. And we pray for those who are coming to the end of their lives and for those who wait with them. Lord our God, the work that we do day by day is your work. Help us to remember that and help others to. For the work of scientists and engineers exploring, making the impossible possible. And for those in the background doing the admin, making sure the accounts are right. Your work, Lord Jesus, and in our homes. Let there be peace. Let there be love. And bless us in our relationships, in all their complexity, and in our relationships with our neighbors. We pray for those things that are heavy on our hearts. And we offer all these prayers. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to make our offering now, which is not the same as we're going to have a bit of a whip round. We're going to make our offering. So as the bag comes to you, it's a symbol of you offering your money, which is a symbol of you offering of yourself. Today, dear God, I offer the whole of my life. In the domestic chores each day requires, we will praise you. In hospitality, conversation, planning, and care, we will praise you. In times of listening, distraction, and wonder, we will praise you. In work well done and in deepening understanding, we will praise you. Today, dear God, we offer you the whole of our lives. Amen. Our final hymn, O God of Bethel.
we've created some secret messages by writing either with lemon or wax on pieces of paper, and then we had to discover each other's secret messages. So this is how, so the parallel is that Jesus helps us discover what God's saying. So we've got, what does yours say, Jack? Hold it up very high.
It says, I God loves sweeties.
God loves sweeties.
And Jack.
Jesus loves sweeties and Jack. Beautiful.
Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you. And we had some
true,
more.
True, but not as funny.
Yeah. And we had some more, like, love one another.
Also true, but
Jesus
not as
loves lions and all animals.
Jesus loves lions and all animals. True.
So, there you go.
Thank you very much.
Secret messages.
I do think the word of the day is Jesus loves sweeties and you. Works for me. Works for me. I'm Scottish. Here we go. Remaining as we are, a prayer. Our Saviour and our God, amid life's demanding pace, help us to give you first place, to take time to seek you, and then to do your will. And all God's people said, Amen.